Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Somebody sent an email recently asking, basically saying there's a line in the Litany of the Great Compassionate One, which we recite at morning service and also at Vespers in the evening. And the line that the person was saying, they kind of trip over when they come to it, is all is defilement, earth, earth. Do the work within my heart. And there's a saying in Zen and Chan Buddhism that goes, great doubt, great enlightenment. And I think that's what's being expressed here. The doubt that is meant in that little slogan, it's not a cynical doubt or a doubt of sort of looking, well, it's not a doubt of not believing, which kind of doesn't make sense. It is a doubt of someone who has deep faith, or maybe doesn't think they have deep faith, but is doubting, how could I put it? Doubting in good faith, if I could put it that way. Doubting because they want to know the truth. And often what happens in a time of sort of spiritual crisis is that a trainee can come to a point of almost, well, not almost, to a point of despair. They may have been training for a long time or a short time, but at that point they feel that they're training is in vain and that everything is in vain. And they might see the world, themselves, and everything around them as being defiled and unclean, impure, and that the way forward seems hopeless. And if a person is it's actually a sort of a point where it could go either way for that person. But often what happens is the person is actually really deeply searching. And maybe has been trying to do it all themselves, if I could put it that way, and think that somehow all their efforts are coming to nothing. And often what happens at that point is a person kind of gives up, surrenders, or one could say really lets go of their own will and their own efforts to understand with the discursive mind. And as it says in the scripture, O great victor, I hold on, to Indra the creator I cry. The person then asks for help, and in this case, that which helps is personified as Indra, which was considered the highest god in the heavens. And then that which is being appealed to answers. Move, move, my defilement free one. Come, come. A joy springs up in me. And it's interesting that Reverend Master Jiu, when she translated this scripture, had joy underlined. Speak, speak, give me direction. Awakened, awakened, I have awakened. O merciful one, compassionate one, of daring ones the most joyous hail. Thou art all successful, hail. Thou art the great successful one, hail. Thou hast attained mastery in the discipline, hail. I think I've mentioned that I've been reading a book. It's not like light bedtime reading, so I read it during our spiritual reading period, called The Varieties of Religious Experience. And that's why I was almost late today, because I was reading it. And I was also reading another book by a British cleric that was published, I think, in the 1940s, called Mysticism. And both of these deal mostly with spiritual experiences as experienced by people who consider themselves Christian. And so their descriptions of the experience are sort of Christian-flavored. I don't find that bothers me, because the experience that they describe, that, you know, that there's a number of people who have experienced this, are authentic. They have the ring of authenticity to it. And often, many of these people arrive at this place after experiencing a place of almost despair in their hearts. And then often there's a certain kind of trigger or catalyst that sort of impels them or propels them into a kind of a unity, what they often would describe a unity with God, or what we would describe as an enlightenment experience. It's not like that for everyone. Some people, as Reverend Master Jiu used to say, there's just a gradual brightening, instead of a switch that goes on and they're instantaneously enlightened or experience enlightenment, there's a gradual brightening. There's a dimmer switch that just gradually keeps getting brighter and brighter. And also, it's important not to try to make yourself experience things the way you may have read about it, or heard about it from other people. The important thing is the daily training of sitting still in meditation and allowing the contents of your bodies and mind to just be there. And don't try to do anything with them. As I've said before, this is very easy to describe and very difficult to do. That's why it's really important that we do have a formal sitting meditation practice. This week, for various reasons, I haven't been able to get to the meditation hall in the morning. And I really noticed a lack of it after a while. So it's important to have a formal meditation practice in a monastery, that's actually easier to do because there's a schedule. We wake up at a certain time. We go to the place of sitting. We meditate. When the, you know, there's this, I can't remember who it was. I never remember names, but there's a great Zen teacher who said, when the bell rings, I put on my robe, I go to my sitting place, and I meditate. And so it's actually easier in a monastery to have a regular meditative practice. Lay people can also do this. And the key to that is to be really gentle with oneself, but also push oneself just a little bit. I remember going to a few introductory retreats, and I was told, if you can just find 5 minutes in your day to be still, and actually formally meditate, then do those 5 minutes. And it's the regularity of it that's more important than the length of time sitting. Most people can usually find more than 5 minutes, but sometimes people can't. And sometimes just the way the weight of circumstances is, one isn't able to sit at all. It's important to make, I would say it's a good idea to make sitting one of your top priorities, if not your top priority. Because when one is sitting regularly, for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes a day, everything else seems to get easier in one's life. Then one finds that one does have the time to do it. If all you can manage is 5 minutes, then do those 5 minutes wholeheartedly with all your heart, and don't be planning out your next move or thinking about your day that you just had or are about to have. Just sit still with the contents of your bodies and minds. One other thing that was told to me back in those very early days was, if you allot yourself 5 minutes to sit, keep a little watch beside you and sit for exactly those 5 minutes or longer. But don't decide to get up at 4 minutes and 20 seconds or 4 minutes and 40 seconds. Sit to the very end of those 5 minutes. The person who told me that, the monk who told me that, said, and I guarantee you will learn something about yourself. And she was right. Not sure if I can articulate what I've learned, but she was right. And so to get back to what I was saying about great doubt, great enlightenment, if you find yourself in a place of great despair, or at least feeling completely hopeless, don't think that that's because you're doing something wrong. That is just a feeling that you're experiencing. One can sit still in the midst of hopelessness or anger or deep sadness or grief or any of the emotions that we as human beings experience. One can sit still within that, and then one eventually realizes that that the emotions that one is experiencing are actually embraced by the eternal. Those emotions are part of our Buddha nature. They might not be pleasant to experience, but they are embraced by great compassion. Eventually, one realizes that one, I don't know, reaches a state of kind of, or begins to experience equilibrium within the various vicissitudes of up and down, this and that, feeling good, feeling bad. Reverend Master Jiu said that all acceptance is the key to the gateless gate. Often this great doubt can be experienced as a sense of deep, deep longing. And really what it is there is that within us that is completely silent and peace. And it's almost as if it's silence calling out for silence. One calls and one responds. And then it doesn't matter which is calling which. Homage to all the Buddhas in all the worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all the worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.